Praise be Jesus and Mary. St. John in his gospel tells us that grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And this kind of explains the two parts of the Mass, the Liturgy of the Word and the Liturgy of the Eucharist. Okay? Truth and grace coming to us through Jesus Christ in the Mass. Okay, truth to enlighten our minds in the Liturgy of the Word, and then grace in the Liturgy of the Eucharist when we offer the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass and we receive Holy Communion. All right, grace to put the truth that we learned into practice. In the responsorial psalm of today's Mass, we say, "Teach me your ways, O Lord. Guide me in your truth and teach me." God guides the humble to justice and teaches the humble his way. And so this is the disposition that with which we should approach the Liturgy of the Word, right? With a humble soul who wants to know the truth and has come in to prepare himself for Mass, praying to God, asking him for enlightenment, to know the truth, to teach us his ways. And so what are the truths that the Liturgy of the Word teaches us today, the readings of the Mass? Well, the first reading comes from the prophet Jonah, and we see that there is a threat, right? God is threatening to punish the Ninevites for their sins. But we see that the Ninevites had faith. It says, the people of Nineveh believed God. Okay, they had faith, and then having faith, they proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth. They turned from their evil way. Okay? So this is what we need to learn in our lives, that there is certainly God's justice held out for those who do not obey his will. But we know that if we have faith, if we do penance, and if we turn from our sins, we convert, we go to confession, and we change our lives, that God will have mercy on us. God repented of the evil that he had threatened to do to them. He did not carry it out. So that's what we can learn from the first reading. Okay? Faith, penance, and change our lives. Turn away from our sins. Abandon sin. And if we do those things, then we have access to the infinite mercy of God, and we escape justice. Now, in today's gospel, we have a greater than Jonah here in the person of Jesus Christ. And he is proclaiming a similar message that Jonah proclaimed, but instead of a threat, he's now offering a promise, and that is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is at hand, so repent and believe in the gospel. And so in order to obtain this promise of the kingdom of God, same thing. We need to repent, do penance, convert, change our lives, go to confession, and have faith. Believe in the gospel. And then we have today's second reading from St. Paul to the Corinthians, where he tells us that time is running out, right? Every moment, every day that passes, we are heading towards our end. So important, so fundamental to living sanely in this world and not like crazy people, okay? Those who are sane see reality for what it is. And this is reality, that time is running out. And so St. Paul exhorts all of us to mortification and moderation with regard to all temporal goods. Let those having wives act as not having them, those weeping as not weeping, those rejoicing as not rejoicing, those buying as not owning, those using the world as not using it fully. For the world in its present form is passing away. It is all passing away. Now, Cornelius a Lapide, he has a wonderful commentary. He goes on for pages just on that last line, "For the world in its present form is passing away," citing the saints and doctors and fathers of the church. And this makes for a wonderful meditation, so we're going to go ahead and meditate on this. The day flies by. None knows the morrow's fount, whether toil or rest it brings. So the world's glory fades. So too Lipsius, our brother, a man as wise as lifted up above man and human things, was wont with great discernment to say, when we talked together, as we often did freely, of the vanity of knowledge and of all human things, that he had long thought of what he would have inscribed on his tomb. And it was this: all human things are smoke, shadow, vanity, stage play, and in one word, nothing. And that's what he wanted to have inscribed on his tomb. And that's what really would be very edifying to read if we went to the cemetery and saw that on somebody's tomb, right? How much wisdom the dead in the cemetery can teach us. For all the world's a play in which this life story is given. Men are the actors. They have their exits and their entrances. And the place of the theater is the earth. On the stage are two doors, that of birth for those coming on and that of death for those going off. Each receives the dress fitted to his part. He who personates a king will not take away with him the purple which he wore. Right? As the saying goes, hearses do not come with luggage racks. Soon the comedy comes to an end. Seneca says that the same hour which gave us life began to end it. We often hear it said that, "Tell me, O farm, O house, O inheritance, O money, how many lords thou hast had, and how many yet await thee? Tell me, where is Solomon and his wisdom, Samson and his strength, Absalom and his beauty, Cicero and his eloquence, Aristotle and his subtle intellect? Where are the illustrious princes, the things of old, the favor of governors and strong limbs, the power of the princes of the world? They are food for worms. They have returned to the dust. Transient as the morning dew, they have fled away. What seek you? What are you so eager for? Happy the man who is able to despise the world." St. Gregory of Nazianzen enumerates in detail and describes most beautifully and tersely the empty and fugitive nature of everything in this world. In his work entitled On the Itinerancy of Life, he says, "Who am I, and whence came I into this life? And who shall I be, after that having been nursed for a short time in the lap of earth? Where in his universe will God place me? Many are the sorrows that await the traveler on life's road, and there is no good amongst men unalloyed with evil. And would that evils did not claim for themselves the greater part. Wealth is beset by snares, and the pride of high office and of thrones is the mere dream of a sleeper. To be subject to another's power is grievous and burdensome. Poverty drags down. Beauty is as short-lived as the lightning of summer. Youth is nothing more than a temporary glow. Old age is the gloomy sunset of life. Words take wings. Glory is but breath. Nobility, old blood. Strength is shared with the wild boar. Satiety is disgusting. Matrimony, a bond, a large family is the mother of inevitable anxiety. To be bereaved is as a disease. The market is the seed plot of vices. Rest is feebleness. Arts are practiced by worthless men. The bread of another is scanty, agriculture is toilsome. The greater number of sailors go to the bottom. One's native land is a prison, and the region beyond it a scorn. Then he comprehends them all in one view and holds up to our gaze the vanity of all things in many apt similitudes, saying, all things, in short, are full of sorrow for mortals. All human things are fearful and yet ridiculous. Like to thistle down, to a shadow, to dew, to the idle wind, to the flight of a bird, to a vapor, a dream, a wave, a ship, a footprint, a breath, to dust, to a world perpetually changing all things as it revolves, now stable, now rotating, now falling, now fixed by seasons, days, nights, labors, death, sorrows, pleasures, diseases, calamities, prosperity. Not without great wisdom is it, O Christ, that you have so appointed that all the things of this life are uncertain and unstable. Okay, we see in all of this the wisdom of the saints. Right? This is a doctor of the church who is enlightened and inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, and which enabled him to be extremely detached from the things of the earth and to become holy. Doubtless it was that we might learn to glow with love and desire of something firm and settled, which can't be found in this world, that we might tear away the mind from thoughts of the folly of the flesh, and might preserve pure and intact that image given us from above, might lead a life apart from this life, and in short, by changing this world for another, bear with fortitude all the difficulties and trials of this life. Right? So this is the truth, and we need grace to put this into practice. The fashion of this world, which is passing away. The fashion of this world implies that it is dressed and masked as an actor. Just as if a man were to sell you a horse and its trappings, you would take off its covering and examine the body and limbs of the horse before buying. Even so, do here with the world. Unmask the world and its vanities. The world offers you for sale dressed up honors, masked pleasures, decorated riches. Remove the decorations, take off the mask. Look what lurks behind them. You will see that all is slender and empty. The wise man pathetically describes the complaint of the ungodly and the late remorse that follows on the love of vanity. And he compares it to a slight shadow, a messenger hastening by, a ship cutting the sea, the flight of a bird, an arrow shot forth, to thistle down, foam, smoke, wind, and to an inn where one spends only a night. St. Jerome explains these images at length in his letter to St. Cyprian, in which he says, compared to eternity, the length of all time is short. Then he says, as in the morning the grass flourishes and delights with its verdure the eyes of all that see it, and then gradually withers and loses its beauty, and is turned into hay to be trodden underfoot, even so does the whole race of men show the freshness of spring in childhood, blossom in youth, and flourish in manhood. But suddenly, when he knows not, the head turns white, the face wrinkles, the skin contracts, and at last, in the evening of old age, he can scarcely move. He is hardly recognized for what he used to be, and seems almost changed into another man. And lastly, we are suddenly cut down and fly away. Makes you want to become a monk, doesn't it? Or hermit, you know, or an anchorite, just to leave the world and spend your time in prayer and penance. That's a good inspiration. St. Gregory the Great, he advised this: to a certain man, for the short span of our life and pilgrimage here, he said, to give himself to sacred reading, to meditate on heavenly words, to kindle himself with love of eternity, to do all good works in his power with his earthly things, and to hope for an everlasting kingdom as a reward for them. So to live is to have a part already in the life of eternity. So this is the truth, the solid truth, and we should all strive to live accordingly, to live according to the truth. And the grace is found here in the holy sacrifice of the Mass, in receiving our Lord in the Holy Eucharist. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.